This is Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal for Thursday, January 22, 2026. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. This past year, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has exponentially increased a campaign of arrests and detentions, including over 250 arrests in Maine. Now, this week, ICE has begun a surge into Maine in an action they are calling Operation Catch of the Day. There have been numerous reports of ICE activity and arrests in Greater Portland and Lewiston, which have been home to many immigrants, including refugees and asylum seekers, with masked ICE agents knocking on doors and making arrests in numerous locations.
We're speaking with Zach Hyden, Chief Counsel at the ACLU of Maine. Thanks for speaking with us this morning, Zach.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
We're talking with you Thursday morning, January 22nd, a day or so after escalating reports of ICE activity and arrests in the greater Portland and Lewiston areas. In what ICE officials have told an embedded Fox News reporter is a surge they are titling Operation Catch of the Day. We still have not heard that ICE has responded or communicated directly with state or local officials, but ICE has told Fox that they have made 50 arrests yesterday and have a list of 1,400 people. Information is still coming in, but Portland Press Herald reports last night a number of incidences. One arrested was an 18-year-old USM student who is an asylum seeker from Gabon, living here the past 3 years with his family. He had the misfortune of getting into a minor car accident and was arrested by ICE. He last told his mother he was in detention center in Burlington, Massachusetts. We know that, as we said prior to this interview, there are so many reports, so many incidents happening. It's hard to keep track at this point. But we wanted to ask you, Zach, and Maine ACLU, what you know about what is going on so far in this operation and the arrests being made, and we realize by airtime the story could be very different.
Thanks so much. What we know is that ICE has come into Maine and is coming into our communities and terrorizing people, scaring the hell out of our neighbors and friends and families. And they apparently think this is some sort of joke. They've called this Catch of the Day as if this was funny. It's not funny, putting people in fear of their lives. These are all people who came to this country as refugees or asylum seekers, fleeing oppressive regimes and torture all around the world. They came to America looking for a better life, seeking refuge. And to be treated this way by the American government is deeply shameful. The only bright light in all of this, though, has been the outpouring of support that we've seen from people here in Maine for their neighbors, trying to look out for one another and also protesting and demonstrating and saying that this is not the country that we want. This is not how we treat people in this country, and demanding change from our political leaders.
Are you able to, again, I know there's a number of organizations that are clearing houses, and for instance, Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition has a hotline where reports are coming in. But do you have you had a sense of what types of arrests are being made or the numbers being made, how they're being made at houses, public places? Have you been getting a sense of that yet?
Our sense is that people are being apprehended in various places, sometimes in public on the streets, sometimes in their homes. We've heard of a number of parents being picked up after dropping their kids off at school, which, as a parent, I just think of the terror for those kids. They're going to get out of school. They don't know what's happened. And they're going to go home and there's nobody at their house. It's being done in such a callous and cavalier way, not thinking about the welfare of these children or in their communities, for reasons that really surpass understanding. So for people that are witnessing ICE activities, the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition hotline is a great place to go to report those, describe in as much detail as you can about what you're seeing. Other resources at ILAP Maine, ILAPMaine.org, for people that need legal assistance. We're working with ILAP, which is the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project here in Maine, to match people up with lawyers who need assistance either with bond hearings or habeas motions or whatever sort of representation they need to try to get through this. I'll say that demand is, for lawyers is outstripping supply, but we're doing what we can to match people up. So go to ilapmaine.org, ilapmaine.org for the form to request legal assistance if that's something you or your family members need.
LD 1971 was voted into law this June and was held over by Governor Mills and only just accepted into law in a manner that would not allow it to be implemented until July. But we just heard that the Maine Safety has adopted it as policy. Do you want to talk a little bit about what 1971 now does as far as interactions between local and state police and ICE?
Sure. Yeah, LD 1971 is a critically important piece of legislation that was passed by the Maine legislature last year. Governor Mills allowed it to become law a few weeks ago, but it does not go into effect until after the legislature adjourns, which will probably be this summer. The law disentangles Maine law enforcement from federal law enforcement or federal immigration enforcement. It says Maine law enforcement resources, jails, sheriff's departments, police departments, the state police should not be participating in or conducting immigration enforcement activities. Those are, you know, those police departments, our local police departments, should be looking after local concerns, not federal concerns. And I think a big motivation for this piece of legislation was these, you know, utterly lawless tactics that we've seen from the Department of Homeland Security, from ICE and CBP, and a reluctance or hostility from Maine to say, like, this is not something we should be a part of. This is not Maine values. This is not how we, you know, how our law enforcement, we want them to act, and we don't want to have any part in being a part of that, those sorts of tactics. So, the challenge with LD 1971 is it has not gone into effect yet. We have heard that the Maine State Police and the Maine Department of Public Safety is, you know, sort of going ahead and treating it as if this has become law for them. But Maine has, you know, a vast number of law enforcement agencies, sheriff's departments in every county, police departments in our larger cities, and it's up to them really. Of whether they're going to implement this law early. So it's really up to the people of Maine to demand that from their law enforcement agencies. These agencies work for us, and we should demand that they treat our community to protect our community and not terrorize our community like ICE is doing.
Last night, Maine ACLU gave a Know Your Rights training where close to 1,000 people attended, and we know there's been a groundswell grassroots movement from a number of different organizations to inform people about their rights and the resources that are available to people in exercising their rights. And again, if someone is detained, can you go over with us some of these rights? And talking about for clarification on what people can expect in public versus private spaces, what concerns people should have over the fact that all of Maine is within 100 miles from the border, so there may be differing rights on protection of your devices and other things. If you could just take us through some of these important points that you went over last night in whatever order that you feel would be most informative in telling people what their rights are as far as their interactions with ICE and their rights to protest, observe, and document.
Thanks. We have extensive Know Your Rights materials on our website at aclumaine.org that cover a whole range of issues related to immigration operations for ICE and CBP. They talk about how to for people to get lawyers and what they can do if they have encounters with ICE. So aclumaine.org/preparing for ICE. Has a collection of those resources, and those are translated into a number of languages: English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Lingala, Somali, and Haitian Creole. So they should be accessible to many, hopefully most people in Maine, those Know Your Rights resources. So that is a good place for people to start. To sort of give the highlight areas of this, the presentation that we did on January 21st, which will hopefully be available for people, things that people should remember. You're protected, your privacy is protected against unreasonable searches and seizures in your home. And if ICE or law enforcement shows up at your home, you can keep the door closed and you can ask if they have a warrant signed by a judge. We have a picture of a judicial warrant on our website that you can see as an example. But the key point is that at the top of the page, it's going to say United States District Court. And at the bottom of the page, it's going to have a judge's signature. That's a warrant that's been signed by a judge. Now, what ICE is often showing up with is an administrative warrant that they print off themselves and sign. That's not the same as a warrant that's been signed by a judge, a judicial warrant, which is what is necessary if law enforcement wants to enter somebody's home without their permission. You don't have to give people permission to enter your home, and you can ask to see a warrant. They can hold it up to the window, they can slide it under the door, and you can review or see whether that is in fact a warrant signed by a judge. If ICE does come into your home, or if you encounter ICE on the street, you can tell them that you don't want to answer questions, that you're invoking your right to remain silent, and you'd like to speak with an attorney. The law is a little bit different for people who are non-citizens and who are required to have documentation of their immigration status. People who have documentation of their immigration status should carry that with them as they're going about their lives in public, whether that's a green card or some other authorization to be in this country lawfully. But as a general matter for citizens, you don't have to answer questions and you don't have to agree to participate in any interviews with ICE or Customs and Border Protection. The other topic that we talked about a lot last night is for people who are outraged about what they're seeing in the streets or seeing on social media, and they want to demonstrate that in public. They want to hold a protest or attend a rally or a demonstration. The First Amendment protects you from when you want to do all those activities. You can gather together with like-minded people in public, you can hold signs, you can chant. And you can draw attention to your concerns about what's going on in this state and in this country right now. The First Amendment does not protect your right to threaten anybody. It doesn't protect your right to cause damage to property, to private property, to public property, but it does protect your rights when you're peacefully gathering or demonstrating and chanting and marching. Those are all core First Amendment protected activities. And like I said, at our website, aclumaine.org, there's extensive material about people who want to participate in protests or rallies or people who want to organize protests and rallies. So that's a good place for people to go. The last topic I'll talk about is we've seen people who want to exercise their First Amendment right in public to observe or photograph or video ICE activities. And those are also protected under the First Amendment. Peacefully observing and recording law enforcement activities that are going on in public, when law enforcement agents are doing work in public, supposedly on behalf of the public, that's not secret information. It can't be secret information in our democracy. So that's open to people observing and recording. There's material on our website about your right to record. But people should know that ICE has accused people who are recording or observing of interfering in their work or obstructing. So long as you maintain a safe distance from what's going on, from the operation, and don't physically engage with the officers, but stay, far enough back so that you're not in their way, There should be no justification for them accusing you of committing the crime of interfering or prohibiting their work in any way. If they tell you to back up, that's fine. You can, you know, they're allowed to do that to give them some space, but you still have to be within, to be given access so that you're not so far away that you can't see what they're doing. If what they're doing is in public, you should be able to observe it and report it, even if it's just from a distance.
Can you talk a little bit more about people's rights in public versus private places? Outside, ICE can approach an individual, but if they are within a business or within school grounds, what is considered private and needs permission for ICE to enter? And as we know, though, as you spoke earlier, warrants are needed to enter a home, but we have seen in Minneapolis and other places that ICE will often just ignore that and smash the door in.
A lot of legal factors that go into drawing the line between what's public and what's private. But I'll give you some just general principles. Walking down the sidewalk is obviously public, right? Or standing on a street corner, that's obviously public. In your home behind a locked door is obviously private. So if you're trying to figure out whether a space is public or private, think in your head, is this more like standing on a street corner, or is this more like being in my home with the door locked? So, for example, a business that's generally open to the public, the part of the business that's generally open to the public, like a restaurant or a library that the public comes and goes, that's more like a street corner, right? That's a place where people come and go. There's no barrier to them. There's nobody stopping them from coming in. They're welcome to come in. That's more like a public space. But a doctor's office, for example, the exam room in a doctor's office, that's not an area that the public generally has access to. You have to check in and go through doors, and their doors are locked and there's security. So we think of that as more of a private place. That's more like a home. And that's, I think that, the best I can say without, reading a whole volume of Fourth Amendment case law, think about whether this is a place that's more like a home or more like a street corner.
And does ICE need a warrant or an order to arrest someone that they suspect to be undocumented just out in the street? They can just, that's their right, or that's just how they're operating?
In general, the Fourth Amendment requires people to have law enforcement to have an arrest warrant if they're trying to apprehend somebody that they've identified as with probable cause. They've demonstrated that there's probable cause to believe that they have committed a crime or that they're going to commit a crime. They go to a judge and ask for an arrest warrant, and that would be a warrant signed by a judge. Now, there are exceptions to that. For example, if law enforcement sees somebody conducting, committing a crime, they can apprehend them. They don't need to wait and go to a judge and then go and try to find that person. The courts have said that's okay. That doesn't violate the warrant requirement. If you apprehend somebody that you've seen, the law enforcement sees or witnesses committing a crime, there are other exceptions to the warrant requirement, but in general, there is a requirement for an arrest warrant that would be a warrant signed by a judge. We've heard various reports, both that ICE has extensive arrest warrants that they're serving on people. I haven't witnessed that personally. But we have also heard accounts, especially from our colleagues around the country, that ICE is arresting people without a warrant, that they're engaging in warrantless arrests. And we believe that in many cases that violates people's constitutional rights.
We only have a couple minutes left with you today, Zachary, and we really appreciate your time and hope you'll come back as unfortunately it seems the surge is going to be only escalating now at this point. I know we talked about a number of things that we were going to hit on, but I want to give you the opportunity to share any more information specifically or resources that people can go to, and any final thoughts that you have on what's happening in the state today.
If people need legal representation, the best place to go is ILAP, Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project. Their website is ilapmaine.org. And there's a link right there on the top that says request help for a person detained by immigration officials. You can fill that out on behalf of your family member or a neighbor, help them fill this out if you know that somebody's been apprehended. We have extensive Know Your Rights material at our website, aclumaine.org, helping people navigate how to exercise their rights safely and peacefully in this difficult time. That has material about what to do if you encounter ICE or CBP, or what happens if you witness them, and how to exercise your peaceful right to protest and demonstrate and demand a change from our government, demand that our government not treat its people this way. The last thing I'll say is it was Martin Luther King's Day this week, and we are thinking a lot about him this week, and we should be thinking a lot about him every week. One way to remember and honor his legacy is to carry forth his work of peacefully and forcefully demanding a change, demanding an end to injustice. I think the outpouring of support from people for their neighbors and for their communities has been one of the brightest spots in an otherwise dark winter. And I think looking after one another and demanding that our country live up to its ideals is the only thing that's going to get us through this.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good luck out there.
You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio, 89.9 FM. Lakota Sanborn is a community organizer and part of a broad grassroots effort to monitor and verify ICE activity in the state. He was in Portland yesterday during the ramp-up of ICE operations.
Thanks for speaking with us today, Lakota.
Thank you.
So can you talk with us about what you heard? And by the way, I should say we're talking with Lakota Sanborn on the morning of Thursday, and we realize that a lot may happen between now and when this program airs this afternoon. But Lakota, can you talk with us about what you heard, are hearing about the proliferation of ICE operations on the ground in southern Maine, and what you experienced when you were down there yesterday?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, this is a trend that's happening all across the nation right now. Obviously, we have been hearing about what's happening in Minneapolis and Chicago and a lot of these larger scale cities where ICE has been ramping up efforts. And it was just reported on yesterday. The New York Times were talking about how there is a huge surge of ICE flooding into Maine. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of vigilant partners on the ground. Like we have the ICE verifier chats and phone lines, but there must be a lot of agents like in the area, just based on the reports that we were getting down around Portland, Westbrook, Scarborough, and South Portland yesterday. There were a lot of simultaneous operations that were happening with them abducting folks from the community. And so I had gotten word that there was a caravan of ICE agents that were en route to Home Depot yesterday and went out to just document and witness what their actions were. And yeah, I was surrounded by around 15 vehicles in the Home Depot parking lot with two dozen or so agents. Thankfully, we had other folks out there on the ground that were able to document and film. But, it's a strange situation where Maine isn't as densely populated as some of these larger scale cities. And so it's a little bit harder in terms of like general presence that we're able to have, right? So a lot of folks are stretched thin, trying to show up at all these different locations. And I mean, the thing for me is just really trying to emphasize that the most important thing right now is to create a mass mobilization against this invasion into our state.
And as you've said, there's a number of community members that are joining together to try to bear witness and provide, as you said, verified reports that ICE is in a particular location and whatever actions they may be engaged in, including arrests. And so you saw someone being detained where you were.
Yes.
Can
yes.
you talk a little bit about that? So what did you see as far as that was concerned?
Yeah, so they abducted at least one individual. It was a little bit hard for me to be able to see because I was blocked in the parking lot. I was inside my vehicle during the time. But yeah, I mean, it was very intimidating the way that they were behaving. Of course, like we've seen these videos from across the nation, where yeah, they're wearing masks, they're not identifying themselves, they're in many cases not even speaking. They're very belligerent when they do speak. These are folks that, I mean, all of their vehicles didn't have front plates to their cars, and all of the back plates were out of state. So there's a lot of plates from like Massachusetts, Connecticut, I think a couple from Vermont. So yeah, I mean, there is this othering factor that happens when they are in our communities committing violence and being belligerent in these ways. And the way that they called out for reinforcements yesterday, I mean, that this was just one example of literally dozens that happened yesterday. They have been ramping up efforts the last few days, and I think it was reported on yesterday or 2 days ago that there were over 50 arrests on Tuesday. And it seems like they're going to continue on that trend. I can't remember where I'd seen this. I think it was in the report from the Fox News person, but ICE saying that they're looking to capture 1,400 people in the state, but also knowing that they are just going where they're going to pick up people, regardless of what the list is. I don't even know if that list exists or if they're just saying that. Ultimately, I think the thing that's the most important is that the people of Maine come together to stop this terror that's happening to our communities and to our neighbors.
Just to go back to the particular incident that you were witnessing, you were exercising your right to record them, but they were recording you and were right up in your face about it.
Yeah, they were. It's definitely an intimidation tactic. I had said to the officers, like, there's nothing for me to hide, so I don't mind being recorded or filmed. I don't mind you taking pictures of my license plate, but obviously you know that you're doing something wrong because you're hiding your face, right? They don't want the backlash of what's associated with that, you know? But yeah, I mean, for them to record, I mean, I'm sure that they have their own database of folks who are just there to bear witness and be good community members.
I know again the day is young today, but have you been hearing reports through your networks of increased ICE activity this morning?
Yeah, as early as around like 6 a.m. this morning, there's still reports coming in of sightings of them going to different locations and things like that. I'm really glad that the people of Maine are coming together right now, just to keep the community updated and posted. People are going out and doing these verified sightings, calling the hotlines and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's been pretty constant since like at least 3 days ago, but yeah.
Do you have resources that you would suggest to folks? And when you're talking about the hotline, are you also re talking about the Maine Immigrant Rights hotline that's being widely shared?
Yeah, the Maine Coalition for Peace and Human Rights, they're based more in southern Maine. They've been really active in terms of the ICE verification, and they're a really great resource to have. The Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition is also a really great resource.
There are undoubtedly going to be a number of mobilizations across the state, but there are a couple that we do know of right now, a rally in Portland on Friday and a rally in Lewiston on Saturday. Any information you want to give about some of the reactions that people are organizing?
Yeah, for sure. So tomorrow, Friday, the 23rd at 5 p.m. in Portland, Monument Square, there will be an emergency rally and protest held, so that people can come together and really show ICE that we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to stand for this scapegoating of our neighbors and our community members, this kidnapping and theft of them from their families. We're not going to stand for any of that. And so really encouraging folks to turn out to the event tomorrow on Friday, and then also the event in Lewiston happening on Saturday. It's really critically important because, you know, verifying ICE sightings, things like that, being able to keep tabs on them is one thing, but unless we have the mass mobilization, right, Like, that's how we stop things. That's what we're seeing in Minneapolis. That's what we've seen in Chicago. We've seen these huge numbers turning out when folks are being abducted and detained. And that's the thing that's helping to like kick ICE out of their cities, right? Like, that level of protection and integration is so important. We just need that mass mobilization here. And, you know, Minneapolis in many ways is leading the way. They have called for a general strike tomorrow. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we're doing this action in solidarity with what Minneapolis has been going through. Obviously, there was the murder of Renee Good and others in ICE custody that has been happening this past year. And so, yeah, we're really urging people to turn out to these events, to show up and support your community, to be there for each other, and yeah, to show ICE that they have no place here.
Current rallies being planned includes Friday, January 23rd in Portland at 5 p.m. in Monument Square, and Saturday, January 24th in Lewiston at noon in Kennedy Park. You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio, 89.9 FM. On January 10th, a Stop ICE Terror rally was held in Bangor against ICE's destructive and extra-legal assault on individuals and communities throughout the country and the killing of Renee Good in Minneapolis by an ICE officer. Rally sponsors included the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine, Maine Veterans for Peace, Food and Medicine, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, Indivisible, Maine Orinos, SDS, Maine People's Alliance, and Acadia Action. We hear from some of the speakers, including moderator Zach Campbell, community organizer and member of PSL, Paige Loud, a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, social worker and congressional candidate, Adam Toothaker, Maine Veterans for Peace, Mo Trame, University of Maine Orinos, Students for a Democratic Society, Ash with PSL and People's Coalition for Safety and Justice, Representative Ombarine Reyna, and former state senator and gubernatorial candidate, Troy Jackson.
If you're 23 years or older, you have already lived in a world without ICE. ICE does not keep our communities safe. 70% of the people ICE has arrested have no criminal record. 93% of the people arrested by ICE have not been convicted of a violent crime. All this while ICE is operating at 140% of its official capacity, holding people in barbaric, inhumane conditions, often violating people's rights. Another thing to note is the climate of fear ICE creates. People avoid seeking necessary medical care. They avoid reporting crimes. They avoid attending school, which harms public safety and our overall well-being. We have a right, in fact, a moral obligation, to say no more!
No more!
On January 7th, a mother was shot in the head and killed by an ICE agent during a federal operation with no merit or backing. Shame. Renee Nicole Good was a U.S. citizen acting as a legal observer, something your friends and family and maybe even you have participated in. As she lay dying in the driver's seat with her partner beside her, ICE agents refused to allow a doctor to provide life-saving care. Shame. Federal officials have tried to frame this as self-defense, calling her actions terrorism. You've seen the video. They're lying to you. This administration has kidnapped, disappeared, and murdered immigrants and American citizens with absolutely no oversight. I am a 29-year-old Native woman. The American government, a colonizing force, created the Department of Homeland Security in 2002. ICE came shortly after that. These agencies are younger than I am. They are not ancient institutions we are stuck with. They were built by choice, expanded by choice, and can be dismantled by choice. It is imperative that all of us see the importance of listening to indigenous voices as we abolish ICE. Our ancestors have been resisting this oppression for hundreds of years, and we are still here. This government has absolutely no right to say who belongs on stolen land. Yeah! ICE has been operating as a secret police force, masked agents, no identification, no transparency, no oversight. Coward! acting on behalf of a president who said yesterday that he does not believe in the authority of Congress. That is not law enforcement. That is authoritarianism.
I'm Adam Toothaker. I'm with Veterans for Peace. Yeah. Every time this government does something awful, our patriotism is called into question. It's the way it's always been. The government does something terrible, and then when you resist it, you get called unpatriotic.
I am a member of UMaine Orono SDS, an organization currently focused on making our university a safe place for immigrants to be, and demanding that students be notified if the university administration is aware ICE is on campus, clearer distinctions between public and private spaces on campus, such that it is clearer where ICE can and cannot be, and clearer messaging to faculty as to what they do and don't have to comply with whenever ICE is on campus. We have been told by the Trump administration and its sycophantic defenders that immigrants are parasites. We have been told that our neighbors, friends, families, coworkers, and partners are the problem. That our economy, our job market, our society would be most benefited by an isolationist approach which seeks to reject those immigrant communities who have been here for decades and those coming here with the hope of building better lives for themselves. This is flatly incorrect. Any observer operating from a line of non-motivated reasoning and unfanciful thinking would understand that punishing migrant communities will not fix our material conditions. Material conditions which are the fault of capitalist extraction that seeks to exploit workers. Amen. Our neighbors are not parasites.
We're joining hundreds of cities nationwide who are demanding justice for Renee Nicole Good, Keith Porter, Silviero Villegas, Jaime Alanis Garcia, Marimar Martinez, Roberto Carlos Montoya Valdez, and so many other cherished people who were murdered by emboldened ICE agents under the advisory of the Trump administration. In 2025, 25 people died in ICE custody. And compare that to 24 over the Biden administration. We are here to say that one is too many. This shooting is just emblematic of the brutal violence that ICE and other federal police forces unleash on our communities every single day. We are tired of it! Yeah. Murders like these are inevitable. They're an inevitable part of the massive crackdown the Trump administration has unleashed across the country.
You are listening to Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal on WERU Community Radio, 89.9 FM. As ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, escalates operations, arrests, and detentions in Maine, organizations and networks throughout the state are sharing resources on how to respond. You can visit the Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition Resource Hub at maineimmigrantrights.org/MIRC-resource-hub. We are listening to speakers at the Stop ICE Terror Rally in Bangor on January 10th. Following the killing of Renee Good by an ICE officer.
ICE has surged forces into Minneapolis as part of a racist campaign directed by the highest levels of the Trump administration targeting Somali immigrants. Somalis have been subjected to disgusting, racist demonization by top officials and even Trump himself. This murder is part of a campaign designed to sow terror and pursue a white supremacist agenda to expel huge numbers of people from this country. Trump and his ICE terrorists are waging a campaign of fear, but what they're going to get is a campaign of resistance. They want us to be afraid and stay home while they terrorize our communities. Are we going to let that happen?
No!
I said, are we going to let that happen?
No!
Now we're going to hear from Umbreen Rana, a state representative representing Bangor in Maine House Senate seat 21, as well as a community organizer.
State Representative Umbreen Rana from Bangor spoke about actions at the legislative level, including the passage and recent signing of LD 1971, which prohibits Maine law enforcement agencies from engaging in federal immigration enforcement activities. This includes conduct to, quote, investigate, interrogate, detain, detect, stop, arrest, or search a person for civil immigration enforcement purposes, end quote.
ICE has always been violent. From its inception just 23 years ago, and every elected official is complicit in the actions of ICE. We must be held accountable and pushed. I do want to just take some time to shed light on what the state legislature has been doing to address ICE, what we've been working hard on. The legislature worked hard to pass LD 1971 earlier this year, a bill that passed in the House by one vote, just one vote, back in June. This bill would outline and restrict how state agencies are to interact with ICE. The governor sat on this bill for 6 months.
Shame.
Shame.
6 months. And that delay means it won't be implemented until the summer of 2026. Implementation delayed by a year. This could have been law already. We asked her and her staff last January to rescind a racist and harmful executive order put in place by Governor LePage. We asked again in February. We asked again in March, and so on and so on. Action was delayed over and over again because of a so-called fear of retaliation from the federal government. Yet, the terror that immigrants are facing day to day in Maine was left ignored. That wasn't considered retaliation. Governor Mills could have rescinded that executive order 7 years ago when she took office. And it was only because of the pressure that you all put on that she finally yielded and let 1971 go into law and rescinded that executive order. It was only because of the pressure that you put on. You made this change possible by calling, emailing, showing up, testifying, and being absolutely relentless. This win is your win. This win is your win. It's fueled by the love that you have for your neighbors, immigrant or not. There are no saviors in the state house or in the executive branch. It is the people's house, and they are accountable to you. This is your win. This is your win, and you made it possible. With these shifts and changes and these small wins, the fight is far from over. LD 1259, a bill that so many of you showed up to testify and support, has yet to be voted on by the House and the Senate. I'm so proud to have been trusted to shepherd this bill through and to sponsor it. This is that bill that would ban 287G agreements and bar our local law enforcement from doing the bidding of immigration and customs enforcement using your local taxpayer money. 287G agreements deputize local police to carry out federal immigration enforcement and turns every routine traffic stop into a deportation risk. As a result, public trust is destroyed, immigrant residents become fearful. These agreements promote racial profiling. That is the entire point, which of course impacts citizens and non-citizens alike, mirroring the actions that we see across the country as ICE arrests and kidnaps lawfully present immigrants, elected officials, and people regardless of their documentation status. You'll also see a handful of bills that come up this session, like LD 2106, that will create protections from ICE in schools, hospitals, and daycares, as well as a bill that will address how ICE agents cover up like cowards, cover their faces, and refuse to identify themselves. You'll also see LD 1383, a bill to divest state worker pensions from companies that profit off of genocide and ICE detention.
Yes.
That is our money going into genocide and ICE detention. Because our governments and local and statewide are using incarceration of our community members to fill their budget gaps under the guise of financial stability. Not on my dime.
Yeah.
Immigration enforcement and the very profitable prison industrial complex are fully intertwined. And the powers that enable mass incarceration are those that enable mass deportation and mass detention. Divestment is a huge piece of this puzzle, and we must make it so clear to our elected officials that we want them to stand with us, not profit off our demise. So I hope that you will show up, continue to show up in this way, continue to fight, continue to make your voices heard, because it's working. It is absolutely working. Let your rage fuel your power. That rage that you're feeling, that anger that you're feeling, let it fuel your power. Allow your grief to drive your hope. For the two people that were murdered by ICE this year and the 32 that were murdered in 2025, and those are just the numbers that we know, remain hopeful, maintain resilience, and stay relentless.
And I am grateful to be here with you because, you know, standing with people that understand what is happening, the unfairness in this country, is important. And having that opportunity to stand with you all, I think, makes us all feel better in a world that is wrong. And like many of you, I'm horrified at what's happening in this country right now. Because there's no question that what we're seeing with ICE is the furthest thing from what is law and order. And the people that are getting snatched off our streets, their rights trampled on, and obviously now another woman has been killed. And what's happening today, or what happened in Minnesota, that wasn't law enforcement at all, that was murder.
Yeah. They all need to be held accountable.
Yeah.
And I've always been taught to respect law enforcement. I have, and I do. But what we're seeing from ICE is anything but law enforcement. When masked men pull people from their cars without cause or warning, that sounds more like kidnapping than serving or protecting people. So while I was taught to respect law enforcement, I was also taught, and this is really important to me, I was also taught to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. And that is why I'm here with all of you today, because that is as important to me as anything. Standing up for people that can't stand up for themselves. And just like you said, make no mistake, folks will try and characterize our outrage over this senseless killing as anti-American. But we know better.
Yeah.
It is not anti-American to stand up for people that are having their rights trampled on. This is nothing more anti-American than speaking out when their rights and freedoms of people are taken away. There is nothing more American than striving to create America that is a better state and country for those that come after us. Yeah. We need to stand up for America that's better for people that come tomorrow.
Yeah.
So today, we gather as both an act of mourning for Renee Good and everyone else that we've lost, but also an act of protest. We need to gather in an act of solidarity. An act of solidarity for folks in Minnesota, and all across this great country. And the millions of people that are tired of living in fear. Living in fear of being hauled out of your vehicle. Living in fear of being shot for doing nothing wrong. I know that people are tired in this state, and I'm tired too. And I don't have to worry like many of you do. But I'm tired of having to worry for people that I've represented before. I'm tired of having to worry for my own family. This is something that none of us should have to deal with. And so that is why I say time and time again, You know, I'm not from the left. I'm not from the right. I'm from the bottom. We're all from the bottom. And we're rising. We're rising and saying no more. No more of this senseless killing. No more of this indignation. No more ice. No more ice. No more ice. No more ice.
You are listening to Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal on WERU Community Radio, 89.9 FM. On Friday, we interviewed Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition Director Mufalo Chittum in between the organization's preparations for the predicted ICE surge into Maine. The Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition has established a hotline for people to report ICE activities and to get information. They also have established an extensive online resource hub covering a number of categories, including Know Your Rights, How to Make a Plan, How to Find Resources, How to Document ICE, How to Support Detainees, and How to Get Involved in Community Support. That resource hub is at Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition's website, maineimmigrantrights.org/mirc-resource-hub. maineimmigrantrights.org/mirc-resource-hub. We spoke with her about the coalition's work during ICE escalations this past year and their current response.
Mufalo Chittum, and I'm the executive director for the Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition. So we're a coalition of, almost 100 organizations that work in Maine to help immigrants integrate. Now, the pillar work we do is, advocacy, information sharing, and collaborative work. And we do it from the place of, helping immigrants, come to Maine and make Maine, their home. And so that's what we do. And we're a statewide organization. We're based in, our office is based in Portland. And a majority of our member organizations really are serving folks in the southern part. We have pockets, in Androscoggin, in Bengo, and then everything in between. Through all the arrest enforcements that have happened throughout 2025, whether people have been detained here in our state or moved around, as you've seen in different states for detention. We saw in Maine up to above 250 arrests just in Maine for 2025. That is a drastic increase from the last 2 years, and we're showing data that is going all the way back to 2023, and we can see the increase in enforcement on arrests and detention and subsequent, deportation. So collecting that data and just looking in 2025, where we have that huge jump, gives us, as we go into this new year, that the numbers will keep going up. And, any increased enforcement around that just makes for, a very, 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 very fearful, concerned, immigrant population in our state.
And Mufalo, we were going to be reaching out to you and wanting to talk in more detail about some of those stories and examples. But right now, we're not going to do that because you are in crisis mode and thank you for squeezing this interview. You're in a million meetings and trying to respond to, as you just said, this new information that ICE appears to be planning on entering Maine in another assault of operation similar to Minnesota. So I don't want to take a lot of your time, but I want to give you the opportunity to talk about your response to this news and how organizations and individuals like you are preparing for it. And we can then, talk a little bit about that hub and hotline, but your response and message.
Yeah, our response really is to how we've responded, especially, in light of what we've been seeing around the country when there is a surge in your state, is really to keep our communities safe. So we are, in preparation is just to make sure that our immigrants in our state are safe. And so we've been, preparing around the shelter in place. We've been preparing our communities to know their rights, our communities, you know, to make sure that they're able to move, you know, from point to point, you know, with all their legal documents for identification, and also just be in community so that everyone, somebody in your community, in your household, knows anytime you're moving from point A to where you're going to work or going to the grocery store, but also to really, you know, move and have, you know, we're calling escorts, you know, around so that you are not moving by yourself, but you know, basically at the end of the day, really knowing, you know, having some knowledge of know your rights or knowing somebody you can call who can be able to stand with you. And so preparing for that so that we can make sure that our community is safe. Outside from that, just making sure that, you know, they're informed of what's happening. And so the hotline is also to be able to relay information back to the communities on what's happening within their town. If there any suspicion of, you know, we're able to curb, especially rumors, because a lot of rumors, you know, keep creating so much, you know, fear and anxiety. And so being able to verify information that is accurate, you know, that's been also an important use of this hotline. And so we have a volunteer sign up sheet that's on our website. We've seen an increased number of people who've signed up to volunteer to help us with the hotline, to help us with doing escorts, you know, helping to, you know, also, you know, there's a huge, huge cost on, you know, detention, in terms of bail, in terms of, you know, lawyer fees. So the legal aid and financial support, we've seen an increased number of people supporting, but we know those, you know, with an enforcement, you know, that price goes up. And so being able to connect, you know, our communities to financial resources that can help them during that time, but also in the event that they do have an enforcement, you know, that affects their family, how do they continue, you know, having resources, whether it's financial or whether it's, you know, just, you know, direct support. We in preparing also is, you know, wanting, you know, systems that are in our state, in our towns to work together. This is not just an immigrant response. This is a city response, meaning, you know, there can be disruption, you know, so we all have to have an emergency plan together. We all have to know what each, you know, stakeholder or what each entity is doing in the surge. And so we've been working and talking, you know, to the powers that be within the state, within the cities, so that we each know, have our emergency plan. You know, what are we going to do in the first, you know, one day, in the first hour? What are we going to do weekly? You know, we're hoping that, you know, what we're seeing in the other states, you know, doesn't happen here. But we also want to make sure that for folks who are able, who are, you know, our communities don't have the privilege, you know, to go out and safely, you know, protest. And so we want to make sure that our communities can shelter in place, even when that, especially for folks who are citizens, that's their right. But in this moment, you know, we're wanting them to make sure that they're safe. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we are all kept safe, but we're preparing for a place where people can really know, get information, you know, of what's happening, you know, in the event of on the surge that we're seeing around the country.
We're going to let you go, except to ask if there's anything else that you want to add right now, and would love to have you back anytime you want.
Yeah, so I think I want to end with our hotline number, which we know, you know, is already out there, but we just want to make sure that, you know, people can call, you know, on our hotline, you know. You know, I know these are very challenging times, but we just want to make sure that people know that this hotline is to serve and support our immigrant community. And so please, if you make sure you're calling, with verified information. So our hotline number is 207-544-9989. Again, that's 207-544-9989. So we are, internally grateful, for the community that has come up to come around to support us with that. And we hope that, our immigrant community, as well as the rest of the community, can remain safe, as we move forward in hopefully the weeks to come, and not hopefully this doesn't go on, on to a month, but we just hope that, during any surge that we are all, safe.
You've been listening to Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal on WERU Community Radio 89.9 Blue Hill.